Now, so let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to talk about a challenge that I see a lot of people face. They deal with it all the time, and it leads them to misery. But I want you to know that the highway to misery is paved with self-righteousness. There's a lot of people on that road, and they just drive everybody around them crazy. They drive themselves crazy. But they need to understand, people need to understand that self-promotion and self-interest are some of your biggest enemies. Self-righteousness is having or being characterized by a certainty, especially an unfounded one, that one is totally correct or morally superior. One is totally correct or morally superior. I've seen several groups of people that have really been hit with this. I noticed a lot of people that get into deliverance ministries get real judgmental about other people. And it's because they're the only ones that are right. They're superior. You'll find groups of people that maybe they believe one thing and they think they're the only ones that are right. And they're above everybody else. And nobody else qualifies for anything. It's just them. What a horrible way to find yourself in. There's whole denominations that have a verse that disqualifies everybody else. Whole groups of people, because they have some kind of a revelation, think everybody else is less than them. One thing that we all need to understand is that one of these days, we're going to be brought together in the unity of the faith. We're not going to be brought together in the unity of our doctrine or our belief, but the unity of the faith. And we're going to be looking at Jesus. And we're going to realize just how much we didn't know. We need to just cling to Jesus in His grace, and believe on Him. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's the law. The Pharisees had dug the law down to such a low degree that they thought they could keep it. When Jesus got here, He raised it back up to the high standards that God meant it to be. And He showed them how they couldn't keep it. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us how we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, which is Matthew, verse 5, they're still under the law there. A man had to do absolutely everything right. He had to follow the law. He had to eat all the right things. He couldn't eat any of the wrong things. He had to do all of this stuff in order for him to be in right standing with God. But Paul told us that God found fault with that old covenant. So He sent Jesus here and gave us a new covenant. And in fact, when Jesus was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." That meant that was the end of the old way of doing things. We got brought into the new covenant where we are told to believe on Him. This is why it's so important to go through your Bible and find these new creation realities. Find out, you know, find those places in there where it talks about in Him, through Him, where we're tied to Him in these different ways, what He did for us. And this 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a great example. It tells us how we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We literally, when we got born again, we got put into right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Not what we did. When we understand that, it takes a lot of pressure off of us. I sat through a lot of teachings that explained to me how righteousness was right doing. And boy, was I ever miserable. I was really miserable because I couldn't do right all the time. I'd start off good, I'd be going along, and then I'd make a mistake. And then I felt like I wasn't righteous before God anymore. But you know, there's millions of people in those shoes. There are people that think if they don't absolutely live perfectly, don't do this, don't do that, don't eat the right things, don't eat the wrong things, all this stuff, and it's all about their performance. And that if they don't perform the way they think they need to perform, then they're not right before God. How crazy is that? That's absolutely insane when we've been given the Bible that tells us how Jesus died on the cross for our sins and made us the righteousness of God in Him. And if we truly read the Bible, we're going to know for a fact that we don't know everything. And we're not ever going to know everything. In fact, I think we'll spend an eternity learning about God and learning who He is. I guess what made that revelation strike home to me and made it so easy for me to understand was I was listening to Kenneth Hagin preach one time, and he said, and at that time he had been preaching for 45, 50 years, and he said he still had not gotten to the bottom of Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, and I thought, well, okay, if that man hasn't gotten to the bottom of those three verses, eh, I'm not even close to getting to the bottom of the Bible. Amen? We're always going to learn. We need to give ourselves a break and believe on Jesus and see what He did for us. See what He's doing for us every day. The second thing that gets us in trouble is self-promotion. That's literally the actions of promoting or publicizing oneself or one's activities, especially in a forceful way. It's native to the human heart. We're in these earthen vessels. That's one thing I like about that verse, is that it's Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Him in us that gives us this hope. You got to understand, though, that we're in these earthen vessels. We're attached to the earth. That means we're always going to have an occasion to the flesh. You're not going to get away from it. If you could get away from it, then Jesus wouldn't have needed to get on the cross. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Now go to verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. God's way of promoting is natural and unforced path. I remember Glenn telling us one time, he went to a rodeo, and he was scheduled to preach at this rodeo. And he got there, and there were three denominational preachers up there fighting over who was going to do the service. Glenn just went and got the guy that was in charge of the rodeo and said, well, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I'm going to run those three out of here. They don't have any business being in here. You're going to preach. What was going on? They were promoting themselves. They were forcing themselves into a situation that they didn't have any business participating in. Because they knew something that nobody else knew. You run into that a lot. I remember a guy telling me one time, he was really upset. He lived in a town and they had a church split. And I said, wow, that's bad. I said, how did that all work out? And it turned out this guy didn't even go to church there. He was part of a whole different denomination. But he was all worried about this church split, and he was getting involved in it. And I thought, well, it's none of your business. If another church splits apart and crashes, what business is it of yours? It's really not. It's really none of our business what the Catholic Church does. It's really none of our business what the Methodist Church does. It's none of our business what any other church does. We've been given an assignment to focus on what God has told us to do, and that's the only part that is our business. We're certainly not supposed to go down the street and say, this is what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to do that. It's none of our business. It's nobody's business. But see, I've seen people get tore up over that, over stuff that really shouldn't have had any effect on them. Look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 6. Remember, God's way is natural and unforced. There'll be peace. And a lot of times you'll just feel like you just fell into it. You know, but obviously he had his hand in it and he got his way. He got you to where he needed you to be in order for him to get you to do what you needed to do. We're not as cool as we think we are. He just gets us there. He just needs us to be willing. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 6 says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince, whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor has put thee to shame. Literally, man's way, the person who thrusts himself into the place of honor is rebuffed because he might find himself vulnerable to public disgrace. I've seen people force themselves into places of authority, force themselves into places of honor, and they got terribly disgraced. Sometimes I've seen people force themselves into positions where they didn't have any business being anywhere close to it, and it turned into tragedy for them. If God doesn't put you somewhere, don't go there. If God does put you there, He'll give you the grace to stay there. You know, we fell into a preaching assignment one time in Wyoming. I didn't know it was a Southern Baptist church, but it was, and that's where we ended up. It was just by accident. Some guy knew somebody that was looking for somebody to preach. And my wife told him, said, well, he's a preacher. So they had us up there preaching. And I just preached what I had always been taught. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There were people getting anointed with oil. There was a lot of stuff. We taught about tongues. There was a lot of stuff that went on in that church. And I kept asking my pastor, I said, why are these guys not kicking me out? Why are they not chasing me off? And he said, the only thing I can think of is God intended for you to be there, and that's where you're at. Even the Baptist preacher's wife got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, it was the Baptist, the guy that preached down the road, the piano player lady, she got it. But no, it was just God put us there for a reason, and He got a lot of stuff done. But it was not something that we promoted ourselves to. It was not something that we tried to force ourselves into. It was just something that happened naturally and peacefully. We were literally at the right place at the right time. Only God can design those ideas. He's the only one that can get those things to happen. The other troublesome part is self-interest. Interest or advantage, especially when pursued without regard for others. Look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, against heaven, and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on its feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. He said unto him, thy brother is come, thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I could make merry with my friend. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. There's a lot happened right there. The first son, you know, the young son that took his inheritance, he went off and wasted it. He definitely had self-interest. The other son did too. The son that got in trouble, he repented and he came back to the father, and the Bible tells us that his father seen him afar off and ran out to him and put a robe on him, which is significant. What happens when you get born again? You get a robe of righteousness. He put sandals on his feet. Servants didn't walk around with sandals. They walked around barefooted. Sons walked around with sandals. He restored his sonship. And he put a ring, he put a signet ring on him. Put a ring on his finger. Not just some ring, but this ring meant that he had authority in that family. Yeah, he wasted his inheritance, but his father restored it. And threw a great party for him. The other son got mad. He said, I've been working for you and doing everything you told me to do. You never even offered to barbecue one kid goat for me. Now this rat has been living with harlots comes back, and look what you do for him. And his dad had to remind him and said, everything that I owned was always within your reach. You just didn't reach out and take it. I've seen a lot of Christians get mad. They had been in church every time the door swung open. They didn't miss. And then somebody that had been out living wild, living the high life, got born again and come in, and he got restored, and he got, all of a sudden he's got a new house, he's got a new car, he's got a good job, and things are really going well for him. I've seen Christians get mad about that stuff. He said, I've been serving God for 25 years. This guy has been partying for 25 years. And he shows up in church for a couple years, and look at all the good things that happened to him. Well, what happened? The one that had been sitting in church had access to all the good things that God had for him. They just didn't reach out and grab it. The guy that had been out living the wildlife got born again and came in. Somebody told him, he believed it. He reached out and grabbed it. I had a lady get upset with me one time because she had been going to church all her life. And I knew a lot of things in the Bible that she didn't understand. And I said, I don't know why. I just took a lot of notes. I read a lot. When God saved me and I got a hold of it, I was so excited that I was hungry. I really thought at one time I could die. If I didn't get enough Bible in me, I thought the world was going to take me out. So I read a lot. And I studied a lot. I wanted to know as much as I could. I wanted to get as much from God as I could possibly get. There was a hunger there. I guess maybe she was comfortable. So she didn't have to push maybe as hard as some people do. But if we watch out for self-righteousness and self-promotion and self-interest, when we look away from that, look to God as our righteousness and let God promote us. And here's a really neat thing. Be interested in His ideas. Find out how He wants to do things. You know, He may say, hey, there's a lady down the street that needs some help getting groceries. Go buy her some groceries. We get placed in these crossroads all the time. Now, if we're interested in His way of doing things, we'll just go do that. But a lot of times, we're not interested in His way of doing things, and that doesn't get done. Sometimes we'll put our own interests ahead of His. That's always a dangerous place to be. One of the big challenges I've noticed with preachers is money. I know God has called people to go preach to some small churches. And they may go there for a year or two, and a lot of them refuse to work. I don't know what their hiccup is. But a lot of them just refuse to work. And then things go bad. Or the first chance they get to go to a big city or a big town, that they take off. And then things don't go well there either. God will bless people where they're at. If they'll be in that place that He's appointed for them to be, He'll bless them. A lot of these preachers need to understand that the people are not the source of their supply. God is the source of their supply. But they don't quite get there. They want to go to the big fancy place to preach. They want to go to the PRCA. They want to go to the PBR, that's where they want to preach. They don't want to go to the jails. But we need to understand that God will promote us. God will take care of us. When we decide that we're going to be about His business, that's when He'll be about our business. He'll take care of the things that we need to be, that we need, if we'll take care of the things He needs done. That's all I got this evening. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything You do for us every day. Father, we thank You for protecting us. We thank You for guiding us and teaching us. Father, we thank You for feeding us, clothing us, giving us shelter. Father, we thank You for Holy Spirit, who's always here to teach us and guide us. He is the teacher of the church. And our Lord Jesus, who died for our sins and came back to life for our justification. You truly set us free from a horrible life. You delivered our lives from destruction. You crowned our heads with loving kindness and tender mercy. Father, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.